Welcome back to a brand new Creative Encounter Podcast episode. I'm your host, Juette Z. Payne, and you are back for episode 66 of this podcast. If this is your first time, I would love to welcome you. Thank you so much for tuning in. That shows that you want to do something, whether it is in the arts, creativity, use any of your God-likeness to change the world. That's why you are here for this podcast, so welcome. And if you want to stay and watch more episodes, go ahead and go to YouTube and subscribe. Go ahead and hit the bell so you don't miss any future episodes. But if you are someone who drives and listens to podcasts, go ahead to Spotify, go to Apple Podcasts, all of those platforms, leave a review, leave a rating, go ahead and like, all of that good stuff so we can reach so many more Kingdom creatives through this podcast. Now, we are here for episode 66. Before I jump into what this episode is going to be about, I do want to remind you guys that we are 1 week away from episode 67. Remember, I mentioned that my live album, Unashamed Live Worship Experience, will be dropping next month. So I'm really excited about this. Finally, this record is coming out. It's going to be a great time. But for episode 67, it's going to be a very special episode because I'm going to be doing a in-person live listening party with those who are a part of this event. So those who are in the band are going to be here in the studio with me. We are going to be listening to the tracks, all seven tracks of this record. We're going to be listening to little snippets and pieces of the song, and we're going to be breaking down the experience, what the night was like, all of that good stuff. And there's going to be a special announcement, actually a couple of special announcements at the end of episode 67. So it's going to be a big one. I'm really excited about it, so don't want you to miss it. So that's why you gotta hit that like button. That's why you gotta subscribe. That's why you gotta go ahead and hit that bell so you don't miss any future episodes, because the next one is going to be a big one. So really excited about that. Now today, I do want to mention what this episode is about, okay? So a few weeks ago, I was able to go to this awesome event with my former campus ministry, Chicago Chi Alpha, standing for Christ Ambassadors. So Chi Alpha Ministry was my campus ministry at UIC. It was a phenomenal ministry that I was a part of. I had the privilege of being the first student leader, student president of this ministry. So it was just a great time. It was back in 2010 when it came to Chicago under Pastor Todd Lucas. That's my guy. What's up, Todd? You know, so I was actually called and I was invited to come and do something similar to like a TED Talk type of event. And they call this event Accelerate Disciples Growth Track, and they do this on Saturdays, and it was awesome. So I was able to come after. It's so crazy because it feels like just yesterday that I was in college, you know, but it was like years and years ago, right? Eons ago at this point. But it was so nice because I was able to speak to some amazing college students and speak to them specifically about creativity, being made in the image of God, and just how our likeness in God is just comes from overflowing creativity, because he is creator. And that's what we see in Genesis 1. So we see all of that, and I was able to speak to students and just encourage them and motivate in that specific thing. So it was an amazing event, okay? So before I jump in, I do want to say Chicago Chi Alpha Ministry is at different college campuses, UIC, Loyola University, Columbia, just to name a few, okay? And they do phenomenal work. So if you want to support Chi Alpha, support our missionaries. They go on missions trips all the time. They hit Chicago as the missions field, because here in Chicago, we are a melting pot of all the nations. So that's where they hit it. But they also go on missions trips as well overseas and minister to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you want to support them, Chi Alpha link is in the description below. I would love for you guys to check that out. They are amazing ministry, okay? But in today's episode, I'm going to be showing highlights from that Saturday session to encourage you guys in your faith, in your creativity, in knowing who you are. I think that's a big thing with this generation. Like, who am I, right? Who am I? Who am I made in the likeness of? Once you know that, that's when you can tap into your full potential and what God is calling you to do with this life, with your purpose on this planet. And you can do all of that good stuff once you know who you are and whose you are, okay? So that's what this event was about. And we're going to be showing highlights from that. So we're going to jump right into it. Here we go.
Worship is just setting our gaze on God, right? And here's a quote for you guys. This is what A.W. Tozer said when it comes to thinking about who God is. He said, "Without doubt, the mightiest thought the mind can entertain is the thought of God. And the weightiest word in any language is its word for God." That's powerful, right? That's from his book, The Knowledge of the Holy. If you really want to be challenged and go a little deeper, you can read that book. It's like 2 centimeters thick, so it's just a quick one. But today we're going to be talking about Imago Dei. Repeat after me, Imago Dei. Imago Dei. Good. Okay. So Imago Dei is the Latin translation for Imago Dei is image of God. Okay. You probably heard that term before if you've been around Christian circles. And so we're going to talk about the image of God and the practical implications that that has on our lives. It is a central part of who you are as a believer in Jesus, okay? And so today we're going to talk about who is God, who are we in light of who God is, and what are the implications of that for how we should live? Like, how is that practical for us, okay? Now, we're not doing a comprehensive breakdown. You'd have to go to a seminary to get the full breakdown of Imago Dei. But what we're going to do, we're going to start and give a foundation for it, and we're going to go right at the beginning, okay? So who is God? All right, turn to somebody, tell them, who is God? Okay? And what does that mean? And what is the image of God, okay? The Imago Dei is a theological concept, okay? It's all through Scripture. We see this idea of the image of God. And the first time that we see it mentioned is on the very first page of the Bible. It's like you open the book and boom, there it is. The image of God, okay? It's the key aspect to the whole creation story that we see in the first chapters of Genesis, okay? And I'm going to read a couple of verses that I think will be on the screen from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says this: Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. I love that last sentence that just says, like, I'm going to say it to you three ways. You know, like, God created man in his image. In his image, he created them. Man and woman, he created them, right? And so we see those three verses that I just read. We see God really revealing himself in three really significant ways. I'm going to just break these three things down, these three aspects of who God is, okay? So if you're taking notes, if you haven't been, if you've just been eating chips and muffins, pick up your pen because this is your note-taking moment, okay? The first is this: God is our creator. Very clear in the scriptures that God is our creator, okay? It says in the beginning, God created, right? He created the heavens, he created the earth, he created us in his image, all right? The second is God is a relational being, all right? In verse 26, it's kind of a veiled reference to the Holy Trinity, right? Our, it says, let us create man in our image, okay? So he is relational. There's a triune nature to who he is. He makes himself known because he longs for relationship. And third is that God is a paradoxical mystery, okay? So we see him in three distinct persons, but one in essence, all right? So Deuteronomy in chapter 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," right? And that word God, Elohim, it really is plural. It means God, right? Is one. One in essence, okay? So we are one in essence, in a sense. He exists in unity, but also in the diversity of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? So, in summary, here's the deal. God is a relational creator who welcomes us to join in the divine community of holy love that exists in unity, in diversity. I know that might be a mouthful. Oh, it's on the screen for you, okay? He's a relational creator who welcomes us to join the divine community of holy love that exists in unity, in diversity.
Well, good morning, everyone, and I'm so excited to go into the second part of Imago Dei. So the first part, Chandra gave a great introduction to who God is, and we have this verse that we've been circling around. It's found in Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Okay, God is our creator, but what does that mean about us? I'm just gonna read this again for us to just have it in our head. We're gonna just be sleeping, and this is just gonna be playing across our dreams tonight. Let's have that be it. So God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. There we go. I want to break it down into two key words that we are looking at today. If you all remember from last week, we were looking at the Bible. Do you all remember what language the Old Testament was written in? Hebrew. There we go, Hebrew. So we're looking at two Hebrew words, image and likeness. So image, that's tselem. Yeah, it means replica, resemblance, model, or shadow. And then we have likeness. We have devut here. So pattern, form, shape, and image. And so these are two words that God uses to describe how he's creating us. So an image is something that is made to resemble something else. Think about a picture. You know, a picture is a 2D thing resembling a 3D thing. We get an image of it, it's not quite that, but it is something that harkens us back to the original design, the original thing that it's trying to capture, and that's what we are. So let's look more about how we're made in God's image. It's very interesting how we all look different in this room, but we're all made in the image of God. And it's more than just our physical characteristics. It's so much bigger than that. And so, as God is a creator, we are procreative beings. And so, not only do we physically have the capabilities to reproduce and go on to the next generation, praise God, see these little kids running around or they're upstairs, great for their parents. But we're also wired to create and to do something new. We have Juwed in the building, and he has this cool term that he coins of like creatives. Like, do we have any creatives in the building, any artsy people? You know, Columbia, all of y'all, creatives. But we're also wired to create spiritually as well. And we have a term for that. That's called discipleship. So great. And so none of us have gotten into this building except for being born again, and that's being born again spiritually. And that process of sanctification and being renewed in God's image is called discipleship. And when people become born again, we welcome them into God's family. Like, oh my gosh, we have baby showers for people who have little babies, but we have parties and baptisms for people who are in the family of God. And so we're procreative beings just like God. Then part two, we're relational beings. I don't know if any of you all took psychology class in high school. I took AP Psych, and I really remember this one study. It was by a psychologist named Harry Harlow, and it happened in the mid-1990s where they had these rhesus monkeys, cute little things. And he had two types of like mother figures that he was creating for these little rhesus babies. One was like a wooden and a metal surrogate mother. One was like a comfy, soft, like a teddy bear mother. And no matter which mother had like the source of nutrition or the milk, the little rhesus monkey would always cling to like the soft, cuddly mom. No matter if the metal thing had like the nutrition. So it's not just about, oh, I need this practically in order to survive, but we see that even in other created beings, like they want relationship, they want comfort, they want support. Praise God, we're way different than monkeys, amen. But even in babies, we see this this phenomenon. Babies who aren't held or touched are at higher risk of sickness, of arrested development, and even death. And so hospitals, they hire baby holders, and they're put in these wards to give these babies comfort so that they can have a greater chance of being healthy, not only psychologically, physically, emotionally, but also spiritually. We are created for relationship from the womb, from birth, and even now today. So relationships, just think about the last time you had a struggle in your life, the last time you had a problem. There was probably like a relationship in the center of it. Maybe it was like with your parents, maybe it was with a sibling, maybe it was with like a coworker. That's all about relationships. And so we often have these things that can really form us like relationships, but they can also break us down. That's why they're so central, and that's why relationships are so important and so sacred in the kingdom of God. So let's just define some a little bit. I have a little list up there on relationships. And as you're taking notes, maybe just note like, oh, who is this person in my life? Are they, which category do they fall into? Okay, I'm gonna hit you with a couple. Are you guys ready? You ready? Okay. So we have the mentor-mentee relationship. It's the beginning place for many friendships in the body of Christ. Maybe you all are being discipled. You have somebody that you're meeting up with one-on-one every other week, every month. That's the mentor-mentee relationship. So I'm so thankful for those in my life. And then we have the short-term relationship. God moves us into many of these in our lives, and we give ourselves to each other for a certain time. We have the historical relationships. These are the people that we grew up with, our neighbors in our childhood homes. And they had a priority for a season of our lives and might not be the case right now. We have the dormant relationships. We are very important to each other's lives, but because of circumstances and the seasons of life, we are not able to interact as often. But hey, if you like call them up, there they are. And then at the very bottom, we have this special form of relationship. It's constant. These are few but special friends in our lives, or family members, with whom we have the most intimacy. Two characteristics of these is that we mutually initiate being together, and we mutually submit each other, our lives to each other. And these are so precious. And so again, like, write down, like, who in your life really aligns with some of these things? Maybe you see one person and they've hit so many multiple forms of these categories. Maybe they're a mentor and then they become a constant friend. So yeah, it's important to highlight those people in our lives and thank God for each and every one of them. So when we sometimes have wrong expectations about these relationships, they can lead to disappointment or hurt. But it doesn't matter like our personality or our temperament. We might be extroverts, we might be introverts, but everyone here, we're wired for relationships, just like God. And then finally, we're gonna go into that third category of how we're made in the image of God. And that is the paradoxical mystery. The mystery. We have this cool diagram here. Spirit, soul, and body. I'll encourage you to take notes on either the slide of what does that mean of all of who we are. So we have the soul, that's the mind, will, and emotions. That's dealing with our psychology, our self-consciousness. Then we also have the spirit. That's the intuition, the conscience, the communion with God. The spirit is going vertical, how we interact with God. And then we have the body. That's physiological. That's how we interact with the physical world around us. That's our five senses. And that is us. Those are the parts of us. And so the fact is that we are humans and we have these special things more than any other created being where we can read, we can study, we can interpret scriptures. We have an ability to have a transcendental relationship with God and even deep connections with others in all of that category of the spirit, the soul, and the body. Our spirit is what allows us to commune with God who himself is spirit. And when you look at how God has created us, it's different colors, sizes, genders. You see even a God who loves diversity. Like, look around, even in this room right here. One of the things I love about Chi Alpha is that we love the nations and we love diversity. We love to look at each and every single one of us and say, you're made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. You're made of the image of God, no matter where we come from. So God created mankind in his own image. He created us in his own image. What a privilege that is to say. And with all this paradoxical mystery of diversity or even gender, like men and women, we are paradoxical mystery. But there's something mysterious about even our gender that reflects the character and the nature of God. We know God as a father, and that's how the Bible refers to God. But even there's parts of scripture that hearken to God's maternal nature. In Isaiah 66:13, it says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Even Jesus, he says in Matthew 23:37, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." So even though we know God as a father, we know Jesus as a man, we still see that dynamic that's being played out where we see both male and female being highlighted. We're not going into weird mother God cult. No, we're not saying that. But God is a father, but still there's that maternal characteristics that we see within him. And so even in our gender, we see God's image. So there's unity and diversity. When it comes to unity and diversity, there's unity because we're human. Yet there's diversity because we're male and female, or we're in different ethnicities. There's this one cool piece of scripture that I really like, and it says, it comes from Genesis 2:24. It says this: "This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." Chandra talked about the word before, echad. And in this scripture, Genesis 2:24, one flesh, that is itself echad. So there's a unity, there's two people, but there's oneness even in that. And so just as God Elohim is seen plural in the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, God is one though, echad. We even see that in our own relationships, even our marriage relationship, echad, two people becoming one. So it's paradoxical, yes, it's a mystery, yes, but it's just like God. So God makes us in his image, and I love how after the whole of creation, God is creating us on the sixth day, and he says something that he had never said before. Before he was saying, "This is good, this is good, this is good." But you know what he said when he created humanity? He said that it's very good. Wow. He put the very in good. Humanity puts the very in very good. Not to boast, but it's just something that they're so such sacred about each and every one of us. There's an object lesson. I want maybe Justin, could you pass around that fair mirror that's on the table over there to the right? So we're gonna take this mirror. We're gonna pass it around. Maybe each of you look into it for 3 seconds. Hopefully you've seen your face before, but I am going to read this this passage, and just have this in your mind as you're looking at yourself. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." That comes from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. And there's so much more in this verse. It says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And this just talks about how God is our creator and how much of a privilege it is to be bearers of Christ's image within us. And so we may not depict ourselves as being very much like God, but since we are indeed created in his image, we have the capacity to reflect a degree of his likeness to the world. And that degree increases as we grow in Christ. That's so important to hear. Like, as you guys created your own self-portrait, that degree in which we image God grows as we grow in Christ. And so, hey, let's take this. God is love. So we have the capacity to give and receive love. God is creative. So we have the capacity to create. God is wise. So we have the capacity for wisdom. God is righteous. We have the capacity for righteousness, merciful, faithful, just, generous. And these are all things that God is, that because of our nearness to God, we too can display these characteristics. And you know, you might be like, well, that's so great, Taylor, that we can do all those things. But everybody in the world is created in the image of God, but why do we look around and just see so much brokenness? Why are there so many different and difficult times sometimes relating to our relationships? And there's one word to sum it all up, and that is sin. Sin entered into the picture in the garden through Adam and Eve. Sin separated us from God and distorted his image on us. Humans were no longer able to perfectly express God's image.
Our own choices are things that happen to us, and because of those things, the image that we see of ourselves starts to get warped. We start to see cracks in it, whether it be like, oh my gosh, I messed up in this area, or this person hurt me, and so now I'm struggling to see like, oh, am I made it as in the image of God? Am I a child of God? So seeing all of these things happen, and then we see the mirror basically get, right, shat. So as you guys can see, I'm gonna pass this around. It is in a bag, but just be careful because that actually did way more than I thought.
Very careful.
And try and see yourself in that. Spoiler alert, you aren't gonna be able to very well. That mirror, you can see it got destroyed, and like by ourselves, like even thinking of like, man, even the stomping on it myself, there are things that like in our own lives that we do, whether we speak it over ourselves or we choose to do in our own humanity, that causes just these lies and things to be reincorporated over and over again, where basically our perception of ourselves are warped. And it makes it so that we can't really see the full picture. There's cracks in the way, and the sin like is those cracks. It obscures what we're able to see. And like to get that fixed, that's not gonna take like some little super glue. That's not gonna be an easy fix like that. Like with as many shards as there are on that, that's not gonna be let's try and put it together as a mosaic. It's not gonna work that way. But instead, that needs something like way more miraculous to get fixed in order to all be brought together. And that something is Jesus. And that's something that I think you could ask so many people in this room about, being like, man, I need something to fix that in my own life. And I am definitely one of those people. Like self-image has always been something that honestly I've struggled with for a really long time, just trying to see myself, the way that the Lord has seen me, and felt like that mirror, like it's like, man, there are so many little cracks and so many shatters in how I should be viewed. Like reading the Bible and you hear these things about like, oh, you're fearfully, wonderfully made, you're a new creation, and all those things. I was just like, for the longest time, like, yeah, I can't, those are cool words, but they don't really hit. They don't really seem like the truth. Honestly, the truth seems like the cracks. That only seems like what reality is. And this is something that, as she says in the video, for a lot of things like this, takes an incremental amount of time. Like this is something that once I started realizing it in college. I actually even had a friend come up to me and was like, hey, like, do you like truly even love yourself? And that was something that like, I couldn't answer yes at that moment. And at that moment, it was like the start of being like, oh dang, there's something wrong here. This is, if I can't answer yes to this, it's like, what is this? And so the start of being like, okay, Lord, if this is a problem, and I need you to come into this and really show me how you view me. And this is something that I would love to say, like, everything is awesome now. I 100% feel like that is true. I'd be lying. But I can say, though, that from where it was before and where I am now, there's been incremental changes. There's been different days that I've been waking up, or seasons that I've seen like different things break off, where I'm like, no, I'm able to say like, no, I am a new creation. I am made in the image of God. And even though there may be some point moments where I'm like, oh, this is really hard, I can go back and remember a lot of those things that the Lord has spoken over me, or spoken through other people, or in my own times with the Lord, or even in those moments where I didn't really feel it, just reading over scripture over and over and over again, just being like, okay, Lord, These words don't really mean anything to me right now, but I'm choosing, though, to continue to pray them over myself and speak them over myself, knowing that, Lord, this is what you say. And because that's what you say, I'm believing that's truth, which is something that can be very hard to do at many moments. But in doing that, it's seen more and more, and there's been more and more moments and days and seasons where I've been like, no, the Lord, this is truly what the Lord says. This is truly how it is. And this is something that, like, when you have a healthy and growing relationship with Jesus, he starts to restore that broken image. You start to see just those cracks little by little get buffed out, get sealed up, get holed all together. He truly is a God that makes, like, these broken things, and it makes things start to become beautiful, which is a glorious and beautiful thing. There's a couple verses that I just want to read to kind of, like, close this time. And so, yes, so they're up there. I'm actually going to read two before it, just because I think it gives a little bit of additional context. So I'll start in 17. So it says this, For now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So all this is saying, it's just like how we're being made new each and every day, that God is the one that, like, tore that veil and made it so that he can take us day by day and bring us from glory to glory. And every day, it may look as simple or as small as being like, okay, I can wake up today and believe this truth a little bit more than what I could the day before. Or maybe I'm now able to look in the mirror today and, like, truly be like, no, I am a child of God. And again, there may be the ebbs and flows of life, the ups and downs in the seasons, but knowing that, like, this is true, that, like, hey, even though things may look bad now, things may be hard in a season, knowing, like, where I am now, there's, like, multiple degrees of glory that have happened, multiple degrees of transformation that have happened from where we once were.
So how many of you have heard the quote, I don't know who said it, but there's two things you can't do alone. One, being married, and two, being a Christian.
Yes, I like that quote.
Because it's true. You can't be a Christian by yourself. So that's what brings us to the us portion. So we're asking the question, how does the image of God, Imago Dei, impact my community? So your community of believers around you. So a healthy relationship with Jesus cannot be separated from a healthy relationship with his body. You might hear a lot of times from people who don't like to talk about God, it's like, my relationship with God is personal. It's like, you know, whenever you bring up God, they're like, that's personal. Like, that's me and God, you know. And they're wrong. That's not how it's supposed to be. Your relationship with God is you and him, but it's also you and him and the body. We're supposed to do this walk in community with each other. From UIC, and he's just awesome. He helped us at Saul. He was serving on the worship team. He's an entrepreneur now, doing several things. I know he has a podcast. He has three beautiful children, a wife. Anyway, I'll let him tell you more about himself.
Thanks, Alyssa. How's everybody doing? Good. So they cut off a couple of my minutes. I'm going to need to speed it up real quick. No, but hey, man, this is so cool. I love Chi Alpha. Absolutely love Chi Alpha. You guys are amazing. I see Columbia on the side mostly? Yeah, so cool. So this is, you Columbia too?
Yes.
Nice. She diversifying. She over here mixing up with the other schools and stuff. No, but this is awesome because I don't think I realized what the theme was going to be. And everything is just literally tied together. Imago Dei and all of that. And today's message, I'm coming from Genesis as well. So this is just crazy. This all just worked out perfectly. But as she mentioned, I am an alumnus from UIC. Studied architecture, not practicing architecture, but studied architecture, into music, creativity, producing, photography, videography. Mostly anything in the arts is what me and my wife and kids do and things like that, so it's awesome. But today I'm coming and talking from the topic of setting the stage, or rather, live a life by design, not by default. So live a life by design, not by default, okay? So we want to be able to nurture our divine gift of creativity. So that is so key to me. I love that we talked about the topic of creativity today, and I'm starting in Genesis 1, setting the stage with divine creativity. So for me, I just absolutely love, you don't have to go too deep in the Bible to know what your purpose is and who God is. It's right there in Genesis, right at the beginning. In the beginning, God created. And even if we just stop right there, in the beginning, God created. So when you first meet someone, the first thing that they say, God bless you. The first thing they say, they should say, God bless you. No, it's like, no. But the first thing that that people tell you when you first meet them is the most important thing that they want you to know about themselves, right? So usually when we talk to people, obviously we ask what's their name and all of that. But the next, we usually say like, what school do you go to? What's your career? What's your job and stuff? You know, kind of like that's like the most important thing in the world, right? But usually that's the first thing that people want to know about you. So in scripture, the very first thing that God tells about himself is that first and foremost, he is God. He acknowledges that there is a God who created the heavens and the earth. But he mentions that he is creative and he is a creator. That's so dope. And I also want to mention, just in case, you know, some in colleges there's some confusion that the universe did not create anything. There's a God outside of the ever-expanding universe that created everything. And we can talk about that all day, and I love that topic, discussing that with people, but that's very important. Then you go a few verses down, and he talks about how we were created. And we were created in his image, right? So, same thing, Chandra, it's crazy. She started with Genesis 1, 26 through 28. I'm gonna read that as well. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they can rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then verse 28, God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. So even with that, he told you right away what your assignment was. Because a lot of people, again, you don't have to go too deep in scripture to find out what your purpose is. People will live teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and not know what their purpose and intent is. And it's to create, it's to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue the earth, to pretty much use your likeness of God to go out there and just kill it in the world, right? So that's why it's cool. Like I like that, I'm like the last one, like Jesus sent y'all out, you know, sent to the world, you know, the Great Commission and all of that. Because after this, we want to actually go out and use our creative gifts to actually go ahead and impact the world. Amen. Amen. So the second point is stepping out of the defaults. This is a big one for me. Oh my goodness. So stepping out of the defaults. So what does this mean, right? Living by design, not by default. Now, this is a big topic for me. I get really intense with this. I'm trying to pull back a little bit. But the way that our school system is set up from the age when you're 4 or 5 and starting school is to go to school, get good grades, so you can grow up and go work for someone else and go and your value is based off of how specific this job is going to pay you so that you can be in debt afterwards, pay off that debt, have all these bills, and then retire at some older age or whatever and stuff. There's nowhere in our system where they're teaching you, why don't you be the one to go and create the business? Why don't you go out there and be the entrepreneur? Why don't you go and use your creative gifts? And then they teach you what these are the things that we created that you have to follow in order to be successful. It's like, no, if you actually go back and pull back and see that when you were young, think of that thing when you were young, even right now, that thing when you were young, the craziest thing that you did when you were younger, that was like your gift or you got excited about or something. So like for me, I remember when I was little watching all the commercials, oh, Power Rangers was my jam. Any of y'all know Power Rangers? Yeah, yes ma'am, hallelujah. No, but so all of that, watching the commercials and all the cartoon stuff and the commercials and all stuff, I used to sing all those jingles and come up with these funny lyrics and all this stuff, whatever. And now like I'm heavy into music, you know, writing lyrics and, you know, actual songs, not like, you know, little goofy ones like when you're a little kid and stuff. But this is the essence of it, going back to when you were younger and walking in that specific calling. Does that make sense? So take those moments and think back, what is it that you just loved before people start saying, oh, you should go and do this, or this is safe, you should do this, or whatever, or before that imposter syndrome even came in. That's a whole other topic for another day, when we feel like we're inadequate or we can't do it, that's not good either. You know, so all of these different things that we have, the defaults that we just do, oh, we're just gonna follow this system. Pay attention to that, and let's overcome those things. The next point, embrace uniqueness and individuality. Okay, so each and every one of us are unique. We want to get out of that rat race and not focus so much on what everyone else is doing or how successful they are, or they're at this age and that's that successful and I'm over here and I'm still, you know, struggling or waiting for this and all of that stuff. Let's go ahead and squash all of that and focus on your individuality and your uniqueness in God, okay? So an example with that is, again, I did architecture at UIC, right? I'm not practicing that, but I feel like that was a good stepping stone because I love to build. Like, I love to build community relationships, connect with people. I just love talking and connecting with people. A lot of you guys have had conversations with me. Like, you know, we had our talk about the podcast and everything. I just love talking to people, even if it's just for a few minutes. And right then, I'm like, yo, it'd be dope if you did this, and I can help you do step one, two, three to make it happen, right? I just love that. But, you know, again, I go into music, and it took me years to get out of the rat race and just go full in. So it's been 2 years since my wife and I fully went in as entrepreneurs, fully into our ministry as musicians and artists and things like that. And it's been awesome. The Lord's been sustaining us and blessing us and all of that. And then even now, we just took our kids out of school and now we're homeschooling them. So all of us are at home at the same all day. You know, I was just telling Becky, I was like, these boys be talking a lot, but like, we're doing it, we're making it happen. But like, even with that, we're building their brand. They got their own YouTube channel. It's the thing of like, you're not 22, you're like 18, 20, 22 to figure out what I want to do. Pay attention to those things. We see in them, they're already creative. Actors, musicians, all this stuff. So we're like, let's cultivate that now, you know, so it'd be well ahead of where we are. You know what I'm saying? So that's that. And then the last part is cultivating that God-given gift, okay? So you have to cultivate it. We give all of our waking hours and time to, you know, our schoolwork, which is great. You're supposed to be doing excellent at school. To the jobs we work, yes, you're supposed to be excellent in that too. But we'll give all of our time to that, but we won't dedicate any time to ourselves and our craft. Like, any downtime we have, it's like a great time to relax, you know, check the phone, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, whatever, all of this stuff. Leisure, all that's fine. But you want to be able to dedicate time. If you punch in 40 hours at somebody else's job, you should be giving yourself some time every day to build what God has planted in you to build. Okay? So with that, you want to cultivate your God-given gift. So I actually have a PDF, you guys can talk to me afterwards. It's called Finding Your Rhythm, Making Time for Your Dreams. It's a PDF I made because I'm a big stickler with time. So like, I'm like, no, we should find these pockets in the day where we make room to execute on our creative gifting. And I want everyone in here to do this. This is actual homework. I want y'all to do this, okay? So make sure y'all start doing that. Between your work, whatever, you find 30 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, somewhere to sit, phone off. I love putting the iPhone on focus mode, turn it off, no one can contact me, all of that stuff, to really just dive in and isolate yourself to really just do what God is calling you to do. Amen? All right. So I want to encourage you guys with this last thing. So in conclusion here, there is a connection between divine creativity and human creative potential. Okay? So there is a connection between divine creativity and human creative potential. So I wanted to leave that word potential in there because you can do it, but it's potential because you have to make that choice to step out and execute on it. Okay, and when you're divinely connected with God through prayer, you're sitting there and meditating on His Word and having those relationships with Him and asking Him, like, Father, what do you want me to specifically do outside of what my parents want me to do, what society wants me to do? What are you calling me to do? And then walking in that, He will speak to you. He says, ask for wisdom. I'm giving it to you. You know, it's right there in Scripture in James. So go ahead and ask Him to seek His face on that, and He will take you where you are to go. Cool. So the last little thing is I would love for you guys. So, you know, you guys know Adobe, like Photoshop, all that stuff. They have this dope creative type test that is amazing. You guys should take it. It's mycreativetype.com, and it's by Adobe. So it's like 15 questions, something, and it'll tell you your creative type. There's 8 different creative types. So it'll be so cool if you guys take that, because it is dead on. Like it's dead on. It's crazy how they do it. But that'd be great so you guys can kind of just sit and say, I do see these traits in myself. Now, how do I venture out to this to go and change the world with how God designed me uniquely, right? Cool. So that's all I have for you guys. Love you guys so much. Thank you. And 2 questions? Awesome. Cool. So if anyone has any questions for me, I'm an open book and you can ask me whatever you want. Yes, ma'am?
What did it take for you to go
full in with God? Mm-hmm. So it's funny because everyone at the job I worked at knew that I had businesses, but I was working there and it wasn't long-term for me to work there. So like they would even in the one-on-one meetings, I'm like, where you want to go in the next, you know, level of this business? They would always ask me, how your business is going and stuff, because they knew I didn't want to stay there long-term. And literally one of my supervisors, what was the name of that book? It was a specific book. I can't remember the name of it right now. But yeah, so I read this book and she was literally saying, she said, now after you read this, don't just go and quit on us or whatever. So she knew that was going to like be that moment to jump out into it. Oh yeah, the genius, something about genius, like the four zones of genius. Can't think of what it's called, but if y'all know, just go ahead and say it. But anyway, stepping out into that, and then I was like, man, let me just stay here because it's comfortable and safe. And I felt so convicted because I was trying to end it by the end of the year. And then God was like, no, I need you to do this right now. So it was like September of 2021 is when we just fully just went in. And it's just been awesome. So many opportunities and open doors and stuff. It's been insane. So just stepping out in that faith, you know? And yeah, it's not easy, but yep. One more question, yes, sir. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, of course. Thank you. So it's called Creative Encounter Podcast. So you guys can check that out. So two episodes ago is when I actually did SALT. So if I went to SALT, I walked around and interviewed a bunch of folks, and that was episode 60. So you guys check that out. But yeah, but pretty much I interviewed Kingdom Creatives specifically. So specifically Christian creatives, artists, dancers, musicians, photographers, whatever you do in the art and you're Christian, connect with me because I would love to interview you and highlight what we're doing because the world is already out there talking about everything they're doing. So I think we need a platform to share what we're doing too, you know? So yeah, I would love to connect with you guys on that. That's it. Cool. Thank you guys so much.
Everybody give it up one more time for you. Awesome.
Yes, hallelujah. So we are made in the image and likeness of God, our creator. I hope this stirred you up and got you excited checking out these different testimonies and stories at this event. It was an amazing event at Accelerate, and I hope that this blessed you. So I want you guys to be able to just step out in what God is calling you to do. Don't be afraid. Just continue to pray. Speak to him. Let him speak back to you. Let Holy Spirit pour into you and share with you what he is calling you to do. Sometimes we got to kind of, you know, turn down all the noise, what other people are saying and all this stuff, and ask the Lord directly, you put me here for a purpose. You called me and filled me with purpose. What is that purpose that you have called me to? Okay, you have a plan, God, and I have a purpose, right? So with that, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, so I want that to be your stretch. What is it that God wants you to do? And I want you to comment below. When he speaks to you, go ahead and write it down there. There's more accountability. There's more success when we put it out there. This is what God is calling me to do. And I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm going to put it out there. And then that accountability is there. You're going to step into that, okay? So just want to go ahead and tell you guys that. Now, last thing. I'm going to mention one last time. Remember, next episode, episode 67, is going to be a live listening party with the band from my album, Unashamed Live Worship Experience. It's going to be a great time. You don't want to miss next week's episode. It's going to be a great time, okay? So last thing is that if you want to support this ministry, you go ahead and click the link below for my Giving Fuel link, and that's so that you can support, become a monthly financial partner or one-time support. Either way, it is a blessing to the kingdom, to this podcast, to the music that my band and I put out into the world. It'll be such a great blessing if you want to join this team. And all donations are tax deductible. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, again, episode 67 next week. You don't want to miss it. As you can tell, I'm hyped. I'm excited. I'm giddy as ever for the next episode. It's going to be a good one. So you don't want to miss it. I will see you guys next week. Love you guys and be blessed.